What keeps your vehicle on the road? Multiple parts working together for a common goal. Hillcrest exists to help people in becoming like Christ. People who worship God, connect with others, serve the world, and invest in someone. That's the engine that drives us forward. We're built for inspiring worship, the spark that ignites our passion for God. When we gather, we lift up the name of Jesus, letting His presence fill our souls and set our direction. We value meaningful relationships, the strong framework that holds the body together. We lean on one another, grow together, and reflect the love of Christ. We roll up our sleeves for committed service, because faith isn't meant to stay parked. Using our God-given tools, we step into needs, reach our community, and keep the mission moving. And we embrace sacrificial investment, the fuel that lets the work continue. Whether time, resources, or abilities, we pour out what God has given us into others, so His kingdom advances. This is the mission that keeps Hillcrest moving. Join us as we look under the hood, the missional engine of Hillcrest.
Well, good morning, Hillcrest. Y'all did make it this morning, didn't you? Amen. Wasn't quite the snowpocalypse this time. But how interesting, it was almost a year to the day since the last snowfall. How about that? And I know something about snow, that when you see it happening, it just kind of makes you smile, doesn't it? And I appreciate it very much. I'm glad we used to live in Missouri, where it sure enough snowed. And I'm glad I don't have to face that much snow anymore. But when it does come, we're very, very grateful just to have a little bit of change and be reminded that the Lord's in control and He's a God of change oftentimes. And I just wish the change wouldn't always come on a Sunday morning. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody's wondering, what are we doing with church? We're having it today. Amen. So we're grateful that you're here this morning. Those of you that are guests, we especially welcome you. Grateful that you're here today. Do us a favor, visit the Next Step Center on your way out the door today. Turn in a completed guest registration card, and we'll give you a free gift for bringing, braving the snowdrifts on the way into church this morning and coming to join us. We're glad that you're here today. This month, we're taking some time off to go under the hood, and we are reviewing the missional engine of Hillcrest. What is it that drives our church? What is it that keeps the missional engine of our church running? What are the vision and values of our church? You know, just before our Lord ascended into heaven, He told His followers to go and make what? Go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything I have commanded you, knowing I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And in that foundational statement, which are among the last words that Jesus uttered on this earth, we have the mission of the church embedded within the context of that statement. And the mission of the church, this church really, and every church that would describe itself as a New Testament Christ-centered church, the mission of the church, is to make disciples, fully devoted, radically committed, sold-out followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We couch that at our church in terms of becoming like Christ. Hillcrest exists to help people in becoming like Christ. Say that with me. Becoming like Christ. That's right. And we summarize that in a mission statement that we've used here for a number of years now. It's something that we want everybody to know by heart. And so with the words on the screen before us, as we're doing in these January Sundays, let's once again say it out loud together. The words are there. If you need a prompt, hopefully by this time you're learning it, maybe even have already committed it to memory. And regardless of whether you can say it from your heart or read it off the screen, let's say it together. Ready? Together. Our mission at Hillcrest is to help people in becoming like Christ, who worship God, connect with others, serve the world, and invest in someone. Worship, connect, serve. Those are the fundamental core values. So if you can memorize the phrase, becoming like Christ, and remember the four words, worship, connect, serve, invest, you've got the mission statement. You can fill in the bones or fill in the flesh on the bones just by remembering those core concepts. And they represent the four fundamental things that we ask everybody to do at Hillcrest. We ask everybody to come to a worship service. You can tick that one off the list. You've got that one down. Amen. We ask everybody to connect in a small group, what we call a connect group. I had someone come up to me last Sunday and said, you know what, I can't even get here until 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. What do I do? Well, there are other groups that you can invite. I directed her to Pam Frank. I said, go to one of Pam's Bible studies. That's going to be very much like a connect group, even though it doesn't necessarily meet, I think, all year round, and they change the topics. But there are other groups that you can get, but you need to get with a smaller group of people. We're going to ask you to do that. Come to a worship service, connect in a small group. Today, we're going to talk about serving in a ministry. I'm going to ask you to do that too. How are you giving back to the Lord? Or is church just a matter for you of coming and receiving? If it's all about receiving, you're out of balance as a Christian. What you receive as a believer should be balanced by what you give back as a believer. And we're going to talk about that today. And then next Sunday, if you'll come back, we're going to talk about the importance of investing our life in the lives of other people for the purpose of evangelism, sharing the good news about what Christ can do for them, and about discipleship, investing in discipleship when a person has surrendered to faith in Christ. It's your responsibility, together with mine, to help them to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a task that's meant simply for the privileged few. It's a task for every believer. We're all called to make disciples of all nations. So those core values are critical, and that's what we ask you to do. Not 100 things, 4 things. Come to a worship service, connect in a small group, serve in a ministry, and then invest your life in the life of others that they may be saved, and having been saved, that they may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we began the month a couple of weeks ago by talking about worship, what makes for acceptable worship of the true and living God, particularly from the standpoint of doing worship as a congregation. From there, we moved last week to a discussion about meaningful relationships, connecting with others. Today, we want to look for a few minutes at the third principal core value that we have as a church, which is what we're calling today's message, committed service, serving the world. And here's the thing, when it comes to becoming like Christ, few things are as catalytic to spiritual growth than serving. Because serving, in one sense, is an investment. It's an investment in your church, and it's an investment in the life of others. And you're going to tend to be most devoted to the things that you make a significant investment in, right? And so serving God is a catalyst for spiritual growth. One study that I read indicated that serving is the greatest cause for spiritual growth. Now, I can't prove that, and I don't know if that's true, but that's what the survey revealed. And so if you're not serving the Lord in some way, you're missing out on the greatest opportunity for spiritual growth in your life as a believer. Regardless, serving is critical as a component for growth because it's what we're made for. God has saved you to serve Him. I've preached more than one sermon with that title, Saved to Serve. That's why God saved you. If He didn't save you in order to give something back, why are you still here? If it was just all about heaven, why did God not save you and beam you up, Scotty? Amen? Why did He leave you here? For what purpose? Serving God and serving others. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul writes, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And the key phrase, of course, is created for good works. That's why you're left here. And that's why you're here today. Now, truthfully, most churches are filled with people that have a lot of biblical insight, I mean, we got people at this church, never been to seminary, but they've got the biblical equivalent of a PhD. They've been studying the Bible. They've been to more courses than they can count. They've been through more Bible studies in their Connect group, more growth group Bible studies, more individual Bible studies outside the church, stuff they do at home, books that they've read, and the like. And so our church is not unlike many churches. We're filled with people who've got lots of biblical insight. A lot of times I'll do a call and response where I'll leave something blank and everybody shouts the answer back at me, and I'm thinking, what am I even doing here? They already know the answer before I ask them for it. But here's the thing. Most churches, even though they're filled with people with lots of biblical insight, are filled with people who have very little hands-on involvement. We tend to major on the learning aspect of discipleship as paramount. So we run from one Bible study to another. But we never really become involved. We never really learn to touch the life of somebody else. We never really learn to give anything back by serving in a ministry within our church or serving our community outside of our church. Now, make no mistake, there are a lot of Christians who do serve. According to Lifeway Research, which is the research arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, 42% of active church attenders serve in a ministry in some way within the church. That's 4 out of every 10. Well, you know what we want the ratio to be at Hillcrest, don't you? What do we want the ratio to be? 10 out of 10. That's right. See, you got the answer. But why am I even here this morning? 10 out of 10. Every person that comes to a worship service should be in a Connect group. And every person that comes to a worship service and is in a Connect group should be serving in a ministry, either inside the church or outside the church, in some way, shape, or form. So 42% of us, if we're like most Christian churches, are already doing that. And then another 30% will volunteer for a ministry once or twice a year, right? So some people serve in the kids' ministry week in and week out. But then there are other people that'll step up and they'll sing in the choir at Christmas time. Or they'll step up and they'll serve in a fall festival. Or they'll step up and they'll serve some way in our annual Serve Our City event where we take ministry out into the community, but like for one day, right? And so you've got a number of people who will serve either on a regular basis or on a sporadic basis, but most pastors will tell you that probably only a minority of the people in their church are really active in volunteering to serve in some capacity. And the Barna Group, which is the most prolific Christian research organization it has been for the last 30 or 40 years, the Barna Group just recently reported that volunteerism within the church is fast on the decline in the church among women. Did you know that volunteerism by women in the local church, active women in the church, has declined by 1/2 over the last decade? That's amazing to me, which means we can't rely on women to do everything anymore because they're not doing it. And you know fundamentally why that's true? Because fewer and fewer women, younger women especially, are becoming active in church. The number of women, young women, older millennials or younger millennials rather, and Gen Z who are coming to church is on the decline. That's the bad news. Women. You know what the good news is? The number of younger millennial and Gen Z men are on the rise as far as coming to church. It's totally inverted. I never thought I would see that in my lifetime. And yet that's the truth. There's something going on with young men in the world today. But it's interesting that with the decline of young women in the church, there is also a commensurate decline in volunteerism among women within the church. But here's the thing, it's not really a matter of men or women, it's a matter of all of us. Because this applies to every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to get today. God has designed spiritual growth to be an active partnership with Him for every disciple. God has designed spiritual growth to be an active partnership with Him. And so as important as coming to a worship service is, and as important with connecting with other people in a small group is, equally as important is serving God and serving other people in some form of active ministry. I want you to look with me what Jesus himself said in John 12 and verse 26. Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Did y'all see that? Say amen. Now, this is a teaching of Jesus. And basically, what he's doing here is he's making a direct correlation between following him and serving God and serving others. And he basically says, here's the deal. If you follow me, you need to serve me in some way, shape, or form. Because this is part and parcel of what it means to be following Jesus. And so you could make an argument, I guess I'm making it today, that if you're not serving Christ, it's hard to say that you're actively following Christ. Because those who follow him, Jesus said, are those who serve him. This is why it's a critical component, this idea of serving God and serving others, with respect to becoming like Christ. And that's why we exist as a church. We exist as a church, what? To help people in becoming like Christ. And if you're going to become like Christ, that means you got to figure out, how am I serving the Lord? And if I'm not serving the Lord, how can I serve him? Now, this morning, let's look at some of what the Bible says about that, about serving the Lord. All that's kind of foundational, but what does the Bible say about ministry, about serving? I'll give you three things to chew on. First is that every believer is equipped to serve God. And that means if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has supernaturally empowered you to serve him in some way. There is a ministry function for you to do that nobody can do like you can do. Now you need to, I can't tell you what that is. I'm gonna help you try to figure out what that is, but only you can determine what that is. But the truth of the matter is, nobody can say, I just don't have anything to give back to God. I don't have anything to offer God. Baloney. Or as Joe Biden would say, malarkey, right? That's just not true. And let me tell you why this morning. Because the Bible teaches very clearly that God made us to make a difference in this world. Not just to take and receive, but to give something back. God has created you not to be a consumer, but to be a contributor. Adam and Eve were designed to have this deep relationship with God. Boy, they fellowshiped with God, walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. And sometimes what gets lost is that as they were created, God also gave them functions to do in the garden. They didn't just walk with God all day long singing kumbaya in the presence of the Lord. They had stuff that they were responsible for doing. They had stewardship responsibilities. They had the responsibility, for example, of working the garden and tending the garden and keeping the garden and administering of the wildlife of the garden. That was all their responsibility. So our relationship with God is not at all passive. Our relationship with God is supposed to be a life of active engagement, active partnership with respect to how we serve him. And that's the thing about true love. You say you love God. I say I love God. Well, how do you measure that? By how many songs you sing, by how many courses you take, all of that can be a part of it. But how does a person truly measure their love for God? Well, a big part of that is by what you give back to God. That's how you know. I mean, you can, as the old saying goes, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Isn't that right? True love is always a giving love. And your own experience is a testimony to that. The most precious relationships that we have in life are those in which we've invested a lot of time and a lot of energy. Listen, I may not fight somebody else for you, but I'll fight somebody for my kids. I'll fight somebody for my wife. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'll do it in Christian love, but I'll fight them. But I might not do that for you, especially if I don't know you all that well. I may try to break up a fight, but I may not get in the middle of it for you. Y'all know what I'm saying? There's a big difference when you have poured time and energy and love into a relationship. They become very precious to you. So God has certain tasks that he expects of us because this is supposed to be a love relationship between us and God. And we were created in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that. We just read it. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. But look also at what Paul writes in Philippians 2 in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you're taking notes, circle the word work out or the phrase work out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you. If you're taking notes, circle the phrase works in. So you got a working out and you got a working in going on there. It is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, did you see the connection between the two? God works in us, we work out of us, right? One works in, one works out. In his book, How People Grow, Dr. Henry Cloud says this: our sanctification is a collaborative effort between us and God. Now, the key word to major on there is sanctification. He does not say that our salvation is a collaborative effort between us and God. Everybody get that? Say amen. Salvation is not a partnership between us and God. Salvation is by God's grace plus nothing in the person and work of Jesus Christ, period. And you can't add a thing to that in order to be saved. I need to know you heard me say amen. And so salvation is all one-sided. We just respond to it and receive it as a free gift. That's about the best we can do with it. But growing in our understanding of Christ, you got to do some work there. It requires work to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. It requires some work on your part to become like Christ. God has a role to play. He gives us the grace that's necessary for us to grow. Particularly in a world that's controlled by the devil, all the temptations that we face. I don't know about you, I need the grace of God to maintain my Christian testimony, don't you? And so God does his part as it relates to growth, but then there's some things that you and I have to do, because it's not just, you know, I'm gonna lay on this couch, God, now grow me in Jesus' name. It doesn't work that way, right? So there are things you have to do. You have to read the Bible. You have to come to church. You have to worship the Lord. You have to connect with others. You have to go on a journey with other people. You have to support other people. Let other people support you. Pray for one another. All of those things are necessary for you to grow. And serving God is a part of that as well. And so our sanctification is this incredible partnership that involves service. It's how we grow. And what's important to remember is God hasn't left you as an orphan with respect to that. Because even when it comes to serving, there's a part of God that works in you in order to equip you to give something back to him. This is how wonderful God is. He comes alongside you and works within you to help you give something back to himself. And so he's not left us to stammer around unproductively. He's outfitted us to serve him in very specific ways. I like to use the acronym SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E. Common acronym to use that to describe the five major ingredients that God uses to equip his people for ministry service. The only thing I got time to do this morning is basically mention the five things. I have taken time in other venues to actually spell them out, but we don't have time. But let me just mention them. I think you'll get the picture. The letter S stands for spiritual gifts. Write that down. Spiritual gifts. And every believer has one. How many of you here today know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Would you say amen? All right, then you have a spiritual gift. You might have two. You might have three. You might have four. Far be it from me to dictate how many spiritual gifts God gives his people, but I can tell you this, you have at least one spiritual gift. Now, if I were to take a handheld microphone and come around the room Oprah Winfrey style this morning and shoved it in your face, and I were to say, tell everybody what your spiritual gift is, could you do it? And if the answer to the question is no, then you got some work to do. And there are things you can do in order to determine what your spiritual gift is. You have to first know what they are. They're found in four biblical passages, 4:4, 12:12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans chapter 12. That's where the listing and the descriptions of the spiritual gifts are. There's about 20 of them that are mentioned in the Bible. And that may not be an exhaustive list, but here's the point. You have one. You need to know what they are. And then you can go online and take a spiritual gift assessment. You can do that privately on your computer. Best thing to do is just start serving somewhere, and you're going to know real quick whether you've got the gift of teaching or not. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to know real quick whether you have the gift of mercy or not, right? Or the gift of hospitality or whatever the case might be. That's the best way to find out. And don't be afraid to find out, this is not my gift. Praise the Lord. You can move on and try something else. And when it clicks, you're going to know it, right? So spiritual gift, how has God gifted you? He's gifted every believer to serve him with a ministry function, with an ease and effectiveness, right? If whatever area you're serving the Lord is a struggle for you, you're probably not engaging in an area that requires your spiritual gift. If it's your spiritual gift, it will flow. Y'all with me? There'll be an ease. I wouldn't say it'd be easy, but there'll be a naturalness about it. There'll be an ease, and there'll be fruitfulness. There'll be an effectiveness as a result of you using your gift in the Lord. S, spiritual gifts. The letter H stands for heart. And by heart, I simply mean, what are you passionate about? What kind of things do you love? What pushes your buttons in a positive kind of way? I mean, a spiritual gift is a supernatural empowering. Talents or your heart may represent passions that are more in line with natural abilities or natural talents. I'll talk about that in a minute. But what is it that you're passionate about? Are you passionate about children? Are you passionate about music? Whatever the things that you are really passionate about, you probably could serve very effectively in that area. And then the A stands for abilities. What are you good at? I'm passionate about some things that I'm not really good at. Music would be an example of that. I love music, but I'm really no good at it. I don't play a musical instrument, and I really don't. I've got a voice Johnny Cash would love. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really not all that great with music. That's why I would not serve well in an area that required music. I don't have the ability to do it. But many of you got other kinds of abilities. You've got musical abilities, or you've got mechanical abilities, or you've got administrative abilities. Maybe you're good with numbers, organizational abilities. Y'all get the picture. What are you good at? P represents personality, the individual God made you to be, with the uniquenesses that you have and the proclivities that you have, right? Are you a people person? You know, I don't think you learn how to be a people person. I think you're kind of born that way. You got it or you don't. And by the way, if you're not a people person, don't volunteer to drive a golf cart at Hillcrest. We will not let you. We want you welcoming people with a smile. You know, Brother Jim Carmack is fantastic in leading our first impression ministry, but if you don't like people, don't show up. If we've never seen your teeth before, you're not going to work in first impressions. You got to know how to smile, and you got to be generally excited about people, right? So what's your personality like? And then the letter E represents your experiences. God never wastes a hurt, and God never wastes a joy. You know who typically leads a ministry like Grief Share? Those who know grief firsthand. Somebody's died, and the Lord brought them through to the other side. You need to be in that ministry. Or who typically leads divorce care, right? Those who've been through the pain of divorce and lived to fight another day and found, you know what? God hadn't rejected me. He can still use me. And then they have a joy to pour into others so that they know God's not finished with you yet either. So your experiences kind of form your unique shape. All of these things God uses to equip his people as a gospel missionary. And really, that's what you are. You may not think you're a missionary, but you're a missionary. You're a missionary. If you know Jesus, I'm a missionary. I am a missionary. Say that with me. I am a missionary. I'm a minister of the gospel. Every Christian a minister, every Christian a missionary. Not every Christian is a pastor, But every believer is a minister, and every believer is a missionary serving on a specific mission field where people are lost and need the gospel. That's why serving is so very important. Look at 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. As each one has received a gift, what's the next two words? Use it. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Did y'all see that? Say amen. Use it to serve one another. That's not a suggestion. That's an imperative. It's a command. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good what? Stewards of God's varied grace. So understand, you weren't placed here on this earth just to take up space. You were saved to serve, created to contribute. And then number two, notice that when the members serve, the church grows. When the members serve, the church grows. So there's a very real sense in which a Christian, when he or she refuses to serve the Lord, in a sense, there's a little bit of holding the church back when that happens. Because there's usually a task that needs to get performed at the church that somebody else is going to have to step up and do that God really means for you to do. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 24. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So you have another example of the church being a body compared to a body. A body's made up of many parts, many members. We've talked about this before. All of the members of my body and your body are different. They all have a different function. In a sense, they're independent, but in another sense, they're very dependent on one another if the body is to function as a healthy body. The liver does what the liver does. The heart does what the heart does. The brain does what the brain does. The pancreas does what the pancreas does. And the thing about that is they all do their function, and when they do it, the body comes together and is healthy, and it moves forward, and it's functional as a total whole. And the church is just like that. All of us are different as individual parts, individual members, different gifts, different personalities, different life experiences, different abilities, right? And God's plan is for each member of the body to find out what its part is and then to function in that part so that the body can move at top speed, be fully functional, fully operational. When you have body parts that resist and rebel, right? When you've got one body part that's in full rebellion saying, I'm not going to work, it might be just a gallbladder. It's going to mess you up. Isn't that right? And if you don't believe that, just get up to go to the bathroom at night and stub your little toe on the way. And you're going to realize, well, that little toe's not so insignificant. Now, is it? But when you refuse to serve in the ministry, you end up holding the church back because others have to carry an unfair share of the load. And that's never God's design. Ephesians 4:16, the Bible says, when each part, that's you and me, when each part is working how? Properly. It makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, many churches, especially the smaller ones, they want to delegate all the ministry to the paid guys. Well, that's what we've hired the pastor to do. And that does not work. There is a reason that the average church in the United States pretty much is around 100 people, because that's about all one guy can get his arms around. There's no multiplied ministry. It's a delegated ministry. It's not biblical, and it does not work. No single pastor or minister has all 20 of the spiritual gifts that are necessary for the church to function. No one guy's got all those gifts. And so it's very critical that all of the gifted people serve the Lord in ways that God creates them to serve, as each member is gifted by God. Again, Ephesians 4 and verse 11. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or the pastors and teachers to equip the saints. for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So this is what we tend to call multiplied ministry. It's part of the reason Hillcrest functions so well, because we delegate that ministry out. I don't make all the hospital visits. I try to be there for the big ones. In fact, I've said before, you really don't want to see me coming if you're in the hospital. Y'all know what I'm saying? Because you're sucking some wind if I'm coming. But I don't need to come, because our deacons are in the hospital every day. Other pastors are in the hospitals every day. It's multiplied ministry, where everybody's determining how God has shaped them and then involved in some way. And God hadn't called you to do what you can't do. A lot of people say, God hadn't called you to do what you can't do, but God has called you to do something. And when you choose to obey, serve the Lord with gladness, what happens? The church grows, right? And we want our church to continue to grow, don't we? We've got some structural changes that are on the horizon down the road at Hillcrest. And we need to do it if we're going to continue to grow as a church. But I tell you what, for us to do what we need to do, in my mind, to continue to grow, we're going to need more people to serve in ministry. That's just the bottom line. We're not going to be able to alter changes in kids' ministry and preschool and students and the like. Technologically, if people don't step up and serve. And that leads me to the third thing. The key to committed service is individual availability. Availability, that's the key. You've often heard it said, I'm sure, that God isn't so much interested in your ability as he is your availability. And that's absolutely true. If you take care of the availability part, God will take care of the ability part. The key is you just need to be available. The question I have for people this morning is, are you available to serve the Lord? Now, to be available, you're going to have to overcome some common barriers to ministry, because we hear these all the time and have for years. These are what I call obstacles that keep people from doing any kind of service through the church. Now, there are several of them, and I'm out of time, so I'm only going to give you two this morning. The first obstacle to serving is selfishness. That's just the bottom line, and it's the biggest one. It's not what I want to do. I got other things I want to do. I've got other priorities in my life. Well, how important is the gospel to you? How important is your relationship with the Lord? How important is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? How important is the gospel mission to you? How important is your salvation and your growth in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Man, a lot of people, they just hang this big do not disturb sign right over their heart. I just don't want to be bothered. I got too many irons in the fire, too many things on my plate at once. Well, that's a management problem is what that is. And that's something that we're all accountable for. Priorities. What makes the ministry of Jesus so wonderful? And I encourage you, examine the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what made the men? Here's a guy that had 3 years and only 3 years to accomplish his ministry on earth. I'd say Jesus was a busy man. He had to build those disciples from scratch. He had to teach the crowds. He had miracles to perform, and he had 3 years to do it. And yet Jesus loved people enough to stop. He loved people enough to allow his schedule to be interrupted. That's what we love about Jesus. I mean, he would be willing to stop and to be interrupted, whether it was a blind man or a lame man or a person controlled by the devil or somebody who was laying on their deathbed or whatever. He'd redirect his whole trajectory in order to respond to life's real needs. And we have to learn to do that too. We have to learn to take our agenda and our priorities. It's like what Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we're to be living sacrifices to the Lord. Every day begins with me stretching myself out on an imagined altar before the Lord, saying, Lord, I'm not my own. I belong to you. How should I use my day today? And then you let God dictate that. Offer your bodies / lives as living sacrifices. And when you're a legitimate living sacrifice, it's not going to be your priorities. They're going to be God's priorities for you. So selfishness is a big deal. It's an obstacle to ministry service. Alongside that, I would list for you today inadequacy. I hear that all the time. I'm just not what? Adequate to do it. That's why a lot of people don't serve. A lot of people don't serve because they don't think they can do a perfect job. Let me let you in on a little secret. You can't. Nobody serves the Lord perfectly because there are no perfect people. But because people feel less than ideal, don't know enough Bible, haven't been around the block long enough, whatever, they just feel inadequate, and they use that as an excuse for not serving the Lord. But listen, God never asks anybody for perfection. He asks people to be available. The only thing God will ask you for is to give him your best. That's it. Are you willing to give God your best, even if it's just a little bit? In fact, there are no perfect acts of service, no perfect servants. You know, when I was a kid playing baseball, we all wanted to hit home runs. Every young baseball player wants to knock it out of the park every time they come up. And I had a coach, Ed Rice Jr., Mr. Rice, Coach Rice. And he pulled me aside one day and he knew it. He knew I was swinging for the fences every time I got up, screwing myself in the ground. I was swinging so hard. And he said, "Jimmy, here's the thing. The long ball is nice, but it's the base hit that wins ball games." I've never forgotten that. The long ball is great, but it's the base hit that wins ball games. When you get up to the plate, strive for the base hit. You'll hit a long ball every so often, but it's the base hit that wins ball games. You remember the story of the woman who anointed Jesus with the costly perfume? She broke open the alabaster jar. The disciples immediately started criticizing her. Cost a full year's wages. Everybody's being a critic at the table. Here's what we could have done with this, what we could have done with that. Do you remember what Jesus said? Leave her alone. And then he makes a remarkable statement. She has done a beautiful thing to me. She anointed my body beforehand for burial. And then he says there in Mark 14:8, she did what she could. I love that. She did what she could. She didn't have a lot to offer the Lord, but she had that to offer the Lord. And that which she had, she offered to Jesus without complaint. She didn't do what she couldn't do. She did what she could. And that's what the Lord is asking you. And that's what we implore you to consider on this Lord's Day. Regardless of what it is, do you love children? Do you find connection to teenagers? Do you have a bent toward technology that might get you involved in production? We always have needs there. Are you compelled to help men grow or to help women grow? Are you bent toward ministering to the homeless and to the hurting, or to single mothers or unmarried mothers who are expecting babies, much like the ministry at Safe Harbor that we're supporting all throughout the month of January? You can give, but you can also serve. Recreational skills. Some of you may want to coach a ball team. Whatever the case might be. We're praying this month for biblical soul care. You may want to get that training. See what the Lord would use you to make a difference, how the Lord would use you to make a difference in the lives of others. Those are all many ways, and there are many more, that you can serve the Lord through the ministries here at Hillcrest. The point simply is today, God has equipped you to give something back. And serve you must, if you're going to become like Christ, because God has designed spiritual growth to be an active and consistent partnership with Him. Will you serve Christ as you follow Christ?